Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we'll look at a few verses, and I was messing with my watch a little bit so I can remember where I need to stop. We will have a brief business meeting right after the service tonight. And I mentioned Sunday morning, that doesn't have anything to do with the preacher. He's just not here, and there's some business that we just need to transact while he's not able to be here. And so that's what that's about, and Brother Terry will be bringing all that before you in just a moment. I didn't want that to be a distraction to you. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Stand when you find that tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 22, we'll read about four verses. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, Let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water that they obey him." We'll stop reading right there. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. I pray, God, that you'd help us as we've gathered around the Word of God tonight. You know the heart and the mindset and the struggle of each one in this room tonight. Lord, you know what they need. And Lord, I'm glad that they're not limited to me. I'm glad the Spirit of God can speak with or without me. And I pray, God, that you'd just speak to folks' hearts through the Word of God. I pray for those that need comfort, God, they'd find comfort. God, if there's those that are living in sin that need to be convicted, I pray the Spirit of God to do that. Help them to find a place to get right tonight. And Lord, if there's one in our presence tonight that's unsaved, I pray the Spirit of God to draw their hearts and save them before it's too late. Now, Lord, I do ask that you'd help me, Lord, to stand before this people. I pray that you'd just touch my spirit, Lord. I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost, that I'd be able to stand. Now, Lord, I pray for your power. I pray for that divine utterance that comes from you. And I pray, God, you'd just open ears and help folks to be receptive and receive the Word of God. Because, Lord, I know that nothing will help us like your Word can. I still believe that you have the answers. And I still believe that Jesus is the answer. I'm glad, God, that you can still help your people. And I pray that that one tonight that needs help, God, even now, that you'd help them. And it may be that there's someone that may need help somewhere down the road. I pray that this seed would find lodging place in their heart. That moment of need, Lord, you'd bring it to their mind and you'd help them as only you can. Now, Lord, I love you tonight, and I just want to thank you for saving me. And, Lord, ask you to help us. And, Lord, I pray that everything that's done tonight will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This thing popped just a little bit. Is it going to be all right, Anthony? If we need to, I'll hang on to the pulpit. That's a good place to hang on to while you're preaching. I'll just use that mic. I don't know how most men study the Word of God. Sometimes I'll be going through the Bible and I'll study. I'll read after somebody. Sometimes I'm reading through the Bible and God will just stir my heart to a passage. Don't know what's there, but there's just something that connects. And that's sort of what happened this passage of Scripture. I was reading across it the other day and really didn't have preaching on my mind. But I read that one phrase, "Where's your faith?" And I don't know, I'll always know what God's going to give me when I go back to the Word. And studying the Bible is kind of like panning for gold or seeking treasure. You're not quite sure what you're going to get, but you just dig. And I'm just glad that this book is like an artesian well. I mean, I could go back to this Scripture again and God could give me something completely different. I'm glad for how God works. I'm glad how this book works. I'm glad it's full of truth that can help us. I was talking to a friend of mine about this passage and he told me he'd preached, and I'll just give you the outline he gave just for the thought of it. There was a boat full of water, there was disciples full of worry, and there was a Savior full of wonder. Now, I'm not going to preach that tonight, but I want to look at this storm tonight that came the way. I'm glad there's no accidents with God. I'm glad for God's divine providence and direction. And if I'm going to title the message tonight, I want to preach a little bit on it's more than just a lot of hot air. Amen? For this storm. Just give you three quick things about this storm tonight. The first thing, I want to look at the occurrence of this storm. When we think about this storm that showed up on this probably Sea of Galilee, it came obviously by divine appointment. But what is a storm? We define storms as a lot of different things. In the physical sense, there's thunderstorms and there's tornadoes and there's hurricanes and there's water spouts. I'm not a meteorologist. I can't think of those. But when you think of a storm, you think of those things. But I think of a storm in a Christian walk. Obviously, the first thing that may come to my mind would be a period of temptation. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that there's no temptation hath taken us, but such as is common to man. It's common to be tempted. The Bible says that the devil tempts us. He tries to tempt us with evil. And I wish I could say that I've reached a place of perfection, that sin doesn't even appeal to me anymore, that the devil can't turn my head, but I'd stand and I'd lie to you tonight. I'm still a man. Like Brother Mitchell says, and I remember this is better from Brother Ronnie quoting him, I got a brand new heart, but I've got the same old head. And the devil, he will tempt us and he'll pull. And sometimes he just puts a crazy idea in your head that's off the wall. That's no problem. But sometimes, I guess this happens to you. Sometimes you go through seasons of temptation. That's what happened to that prodigal son. He began to look. It wasn't a problem that he glanced, but he began to look, and that began to pull at him, and he began to long, and he began to lust, kind of like Eve in the garden did. And sometimes you wrestle, you don't give in, but it becomes a struggle. The devil taunts you with that temptation and pulls at you. That's a storm that comes in your life. And I want to tell you, I'm glad that God gives victory over those temptations, and you don't have to give in. I'm glad that when God saved you, He and saved me, He gave us power on the inside that we can overcome. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'm glad that God lives in me and gives us power and victory over sin. But there's a storm of the valley. I think about walking through the valley. Sometimes you just get into low places in life. Sometimes you just go through times of discouragement. I watched something about Charles Spurgeon over the last couple days, and he had times of discouragement or even depression in his life. I mean, that great prince of preachers, and sometimes you just get low. I like being on the mountain, don't you? But I tell you, the mountain's up above the tree and the fruit line sometimes. We go through valleys and we go through struggles, but I know the Jesus is the lily of the valley. We find Him there and we get discouraged, but I'm glad that God brings us through that. There's times like that, but there's trials that we go through. He said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." We go through trials. These trials come to us in many different shapes and sizes. The Bible refers to them as manifold temptation, many colored. Some people are tried by their finances, and you watch the news nowadays, that's the top of the line. Finances and employment and the economy, and that tries people sometimes. I was listening to a radio show the other morning, and one of the fellows had a breakdown on the way in, and I was trying to wonder what it was like to have enough money that if your car broke down, you didn't worry about it, just took it to shop. Boy, when I tell you what, my car breaks down, I go into fasting mode. Amen. I don't know how it works for you. But trials come from different directions, those storms, and it bothers me sometimes how I let them get me down. I'll get into that in just a few minutes. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but sometimes it has to do with health. Sometimes it's conflicts, but we face storms. It's been said like this: you're either coming into a storm or you're going out of a storm. Life is faced with patterns of these battles and storms in our life. But as we look at these disciples, how did they get into this storm? The Bible says in our text in verse 22, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake." Jesus spoke to these disciples and admonished them to get on the boat with him and go to the other side. Jesus took them right into the middle of the storm. Many times we begin to question and accuse ourselves when things come by our way, and we say, "Well, Lord, what have I done wrong? Lord, what do I need to do?" But sometimes the Lord does these things. He causes them. They were just following Jesus, and He'll lead us there. And I'm going to allude to this just a little bit later, but that's how they got into the storm. They were following Jesus. If you're following the Lord, troubles are still going to come. We live in a day and time, you hear a lot of people on TV and I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang in there with me. I left that sounding a little bleak, but we'll get somewhere in just a minute, okay? But we live in a day and time, and I've heard these guys teach all this prosperity living. If you'll get right with God and you'll do this and you'll have the right side of right type faith, you'll plant that seed faith and pray, God will prosper you. Now, I'm going to remind you something. I'm glad God blesses those that work hard, and some people just have a gift and the fortitude and to go get them to make money. But sometimes this thing about God just blessing, this world, our blessings are spiritual. You realize that. This world belongs to the Jews. Our blessings are in heaven. And so don't think God hates you because you go through some kind of a storm. Hey, look ahead. Look on down the line. I mean, thank God one day He'll bring us out of the storm, but there's storms that we face that come from different directions. And just because you're living for God, this is what I'm trying to get, just because you're living for God doesn't mean you'll never have a hardship. Doesn't mean everything will be all right. I looked at these boys sitting in here in Brother Mark's seat. Mark may be watching on the internet, but I'm going to tell you what, Mark Wooker is one of the finest Christians that I know. I mean that. He's one of the biggest knuckleheads I know, but he's one of the finest Christians I know too. And if it was true that if you just do right and go on, that everything will be all right, he wouldn't be in the condition he's in tonight. So storms are going to come. I say that to tell you to expect it. And don't think that God hates you, and don't think that you're somewhere out of the will of God doing something wrong when it comes your way. We're going somewhere. But I see the occurrence of the storm. But let's look at the origin of this storm. The Bible says in verse 23 that it came down. Now I want you to think about this storm. Where did it come from? Now I know that I'll say a 50-50 on this thing. Sometimes they come from the Lord, but sometimes they come from Satan, and God allows it. I remember in the book of Job, God didn't do that to Job. God didn't take Job's substance. God didn't take Job's children. God didn't attack Job's health. But He allowed the devil to do that to prove that Job was a good man and that he wouldn't quit on God. But the Bible talks about this storm. I was mentioned, where does it come from? Ephesians 2:2 says the devil is the prince and the power of the air. Now remember where they were going. They were on the Sea of Galilee and they were heading over to Gadara. You know what was waiting for them over at Gadara? That madman. There was a man over there needing God, and Jesus was heading that way. They were following Jesus and they ran into opposition on the way to help this man. Anytime you live for God, you're going to run into opposition. Hey, any dead fish can float downstream, friend, but it takes a live fish, amen, to go for God. I encourage you to stand in the face of opposition and keep going for God when things get rough. There was a plan. Jesus had something He was going to do. Hey, they were disciples, were following Him. They were involved in the work of the Lord. Luke 19:10 says that Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and save that which was lost. I'm glad they had a divine appointment going their way, but the devil wasn't going to stand by and watch the Lord steal a good trophy off of his trophy shelf. So it was opposition that they were faced. That was the origin of this storm. But lastly, I want to look at the objective of this storm. Now, I just mentioned that the devil was the source of this storm, I believe. Now, I'll say this again. Some people are hyper about this thing. So I'm probably in the other ditch. I've heard more ghost stories, and I've heard more devil behind and demon behind every tree stories. But the problem is I go too far the other way and don't give him enough credit. I want to remind you what the devil's about. He's a liar. He's an accuser. The Bible says he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Young people, you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to ruin your life. He wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to ruin your health. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to ruin your marriage. He wants to wreck your home. He wants to ruin this church. If you're lost, he wants to drag you into the pit of hell. He's a destroyer, and he hates anything that God's interested in. So I want to remind you, but he fights. He opposes us. And And I try not to give him any credit at all, but the truth of the matter is he's on the job. He's doing a good job at what he's doing. But I want to rejoice tonight that his time's limited, his chain's short. Thank God one day he'll be cast into the pit, like I said Sunday morning, and we'll not deal with him anymore. But for now, we have to deal with him. But let's look at the objective of this storm. Jesus knew what was going on. When he called him to get on the boat, when he asked him to come with him and get on the boat, he knew just in a matter of moments when they got out on the water that the wind was going to pick up, the dark clouds were going to roll in, they weren't going to see the sunshine anymore, the boat was going to start taking in water, and he knew their lives were going to be in jeopardy. He knew that, but yet he admonished them to come right on into that. Why did he do that? The Bible says he went down the ship and he went to sleep. Here these guys are out on the boat. They've got their hats and whatever cup or thermos or cooler or bucket they can find. They're panning water out. They're scared to death. And they look back down the back of the boat. Boy, Jesus, sound asleep. He ain't worried about one thing. That's a truth in itself. Why didn't he stop it? I see three things about this. One, he didn't stop it so he could examine the saints. Look what he said in verse 25. Where is your faith? He said in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 7, he said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. That word tried means to be tested. And what he's doing right now, he has allowed this storm to come, and he's testing these disciples to see what they're made of. Where is your faith? Well, the thing is, I really don't need faith. Got it all under control. Groceries are bought. Bills are paid. Everything's fine. Don't need faith right now. Don't need God right now. Where's your faith? But, boy, when the car slows down beside the road, when you get that unexpected trip to the doctor's office and that bill comes in, the heat pump tears up or the refrigerator goes out or something happens at work and suddenly you need faith and lo and behold, the bucket's empty, there's nothing there. We get all bent out of shape and blown out of shape when a storm comes our way. I want to encourage you, friend, God's testing you to see if he'll trust, if you'll trust him. He said that trying of our faith, it's more precious than gold. Boy, I think of sports analogies right now and the pro basketball, they're arguing over money and they're arguing over benefits. And boy, there's a lot of money involved. There's men in sports signing $100 million contracts and there's people got more money than I could ever imagine. But I want to tell you, the trying of our faith, God proving you and testing you and trying you, that's more to God than any money, any valuable on this world, this earth could be. God's not setting us up to fail. God wants to try you. When they purify that gold and they try that gold, they're not destroying it. Thank God they're purifying it. They're getting all the purities out of that gold. I mean, they got to turn up the heat to burn them off. But you know, when that gold's at its best, that man that's working that gold, I'm told he knows it's ready when he can look down and see his image in that gold. That's what he wants to see. He's doing all that just so he can see himself. That's what God wants to see. It's hard for me to remember sometimes. I get puffed up and blown up on Tim and how Tim's doing and my successes. But the truth of the matter is, God don't want to see me. He wants to see his son in me and through me. There's nothing I can do to please him, but thank God he said about his son that he's well pleased. And that's what you need to see tonight. I could try to cross all my T's and dot all my I's and alliterate all my points and try to be real. Well, I can try. I can't, but I'm not much. But you know what you need to see tonight? You don't need to see me. You need to see Jesus. And that's what God wants people to see. when they see you. You know what'll make you successful when you sing? You know what'll make you successful when you're trying to reach somebody for the Lord? It's not your words. It's getting that glimpse of Jesus. God, help us tonight. God, help us tonight. God, help us tonight to stay in the fire. Trust God in the fire. Hey, we trusted God with our souls when we knelt on the altar. Ask Jesus to come into our heart. Oh my, can you trust Him with your life? Can you trust Him with your children? Can you trust Him with your money? Can you trust Him with your future? I don't know what you wrestle on your pillow at night. I don't know what you struggle with, but can you trust God with that? Where is your faith? But He did it, one, to examine the saints. But I like these next words. He did it to exalt Christ's power. Not only, the Bible goes on to say, where's your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water that they obey him. It not only examines the saints, but exalts Christ's power. I'm going to tell you, if you'll trust Him, I believe if you'll trust Him, when this thing's over with, no matter how it turns out, you'll look back and you'll say, boy, God's been good to me. You'll say, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a friend. Can I remind you, He is good? Boy, I wouldn't know. I told somebody the other day, and these are a whole lot easier words to speak than they are to live, but you realize anything that happens in our life that drives us to our knees and causes us to have to commune with God and fellowship with God is an act of mercy. You know, the greatest moments of our life aren't spent with our children, not spent with our wife. They're spent with the Savior. And boy, God's after. He's just trying to do something to get us to turn towards Him and fellowship with Him and worship Him. We're just talking about our dogs this morning. I've got my little rat terrier. And boy, when I come in, you know what she does? She don't run off and hide. That dog's partial to me. Boy, she'll jump around and dance around. I'm home. She does that, man. And boy, she'll want to love on me. Why? That's she worships me. Honest before the Lord. That dog worships me. That's what she does. And that's what God wants from us. And the reason we don't worship Him, we don't have a good, clear example, a good, clear picture of who He was. You know why I could go to sleep? I said a while ago, He wasn't worried about a thing. He's on the throne. He's in control. My friend, He is trustworthy. It's not based on my ability to trust Him. It's based on His credibility. He is trustworthy. He's a great God and He's a great Savior. Praise God, He can touch, He can heal, or if He so decide, He can load you down with so much grace that you can care less just as long as He stays around. What manner of man is this? That's a message in itself, but I have to throw this in. There's God has purposes. I said a while ago, His main plan. You know, this right after our text said land and the land of the Gadarenes, verse 26 says, and they arrived. That country. Brady, you can preach that sometime, brother. Can I remind you of something? One day the storms will end. And thank God we will land on the banks of God's sunny, sweet deliverance. One day the storm will pass by just for a little while. Boy, I wish, Brady, I could just get into perspective. I live and put so much emphasis on the brief time that I have an eternity. But you realize how small time is in eternity? My little zebra pen, you see the point on that thing? Can you see that point? I want you to use your imagination for just a minute. We do that. How many of you have been to the coast? Okay, Christians go to the coast, amen. They don't go to the beach, all right? Christians go to the coast. But imagine behind me that all you see is blue water and sand. As far as you can see down that way, there's blue water. As far as you can see down that way, there's blue waters, okay? That point in my pen represents time. That represents eternity. And boy, we're basing all of our eternity on this. Thank God one day we will arrive is what the Bible says. But there's another aspect of that arriving. Boy, God had a plan. Why were they crossing the waters? There's a man in the tombs crying out, trying to get deliverance. Possessed with a legion of devils. And God heard that. And God loved that old fellow so much, he put those disciples through that storm to get them there. Because see, think about it, it's not all about me. Boy, that's awful big words tonight. You suffer. People here have health issues. Or whatever battle you face, it's not all about you. God has a great big picture, and it involves people being saved, and it involves Christ being exalted. And so the whole purpose of this storm might have been to put them in place to help that man. Boy, God wants us to, man, I can, Brother Hazelwood told me one time I was like a truck driver at the end of the message. I kept smoking my brakes because I couldn't stop. And I feel like that right now. Boy, I get so caught up in the little picture that I can't even trust God. God may not show me the big picture, but boy, can I not trust Him that He knows what's best? Can you trust Him to know what's best? Well, I'm glad the storm will pass by. God's got a purpose, but I hope God's helped you, spoke to your heart tonight. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Nobody looking around but me. I'm glad that God saves old sinners. I'm glad He saved this old Gadarene here in this passage of Scripture. With nobody looking around but me, I don't know. There may be somebody here that's never truly been saved. And if you don't know Jesus, I highly recommend Him tonight. Would there be one in the house say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that in the house? Amen. I trust we're all family tonight. Well, I don't know what you're going through. There's a few people that I know what's going on in their lives. And I know they're going through storms for whatever purpose God has for His glory and the benefit of the kingdom of God. But I don't know what you're going through. But it may be you just need to come tonight and say, "Lord, give me grace to trust You." And just purpose in your heart, I'm going to trust Him. Whatever God does, I'm going to trust Him. Because God's good. He's on the control. He knows best. I will have a word of prayer, and Brother Jeff's going to sing for us tonight. If God spoke to your heart, you just do what God have you do tonight. Father, I thank You for Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. Thank You for Your help. Lord, I praise You, God. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd just take these words tonight, these scriptures. I'm glad You're the God of the storm. And I pray, God, that You'd touch. Lord, You know the need of each individual. You know the burden in each of these hearts. And I pray, God, that You'd give us all grace to trust You with what that burden is, Lord, knowing it's for our good and for Your glory. And Lord, You take the remainder of this service in Jesus' name. Amen.